Here we are again with another Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and I am joined to start this We Made the Playoffs, Now What tier by Mr. Daniel Greer, Mr. Audio Content Advisor, Creator, Host, / President, CEO, CFO, CEEE. Daniel, how you doing, buddy?
They put me in a title with the initials AA, so I don't know if that is, you know, is right. I'm curious.
Now, let me ask you, do you have a sponsor? Because that might tip off to what that AA stands for.
That would be I don't have a sponsor. I'm looking for an alcohol sponsor. I'm down with that. Like, we will take it. If you're listening and you sell alcohol, you can sponsor our podcast.
If you want to sponsor us, yes, we'll definitely take anything you send us. but no, we are joined by Daniel once again for this. We Made the Playoffs, Now What tier. Cody pre-recorded from before, so you know the drill if you've listened to the past two tiers. If you have, thank you. If not, go back and listen to those two tiers. Just what we're doing here is going through our quick Free Basketball team preview list, which is our personal rankings for how we see teams for this upcoming 2021-2022 season. This is going to be a very large tier right here. And we know from the ranking, if you listen to the previous one, we ended at team 18, which was the Grizzlies. So this is going to be team 17 through teams number 10. So this is quite a large group, 8 teams. And yes, I know when we talk about the teams, you're going to be like, hold on a second. This math does not add up because 9 teams do not make the Eastern Conference playoffs. And we get that. But the Here's Hoping tier was people that are hoping to make the play-in that really probably don't have a shot at the playoffs. And this We Made the Playoffs is, yes, there's one East team that is going to be in the play-in that's not going to make the playoffs, but has probably a better shot because it is the East. So let's start out with the 17th team in this list, and that is the Indiana Pacers, who last year went 34-38, which was good for 9th in the East. New head coach Rick Carlisle. How much, Daniel, do you buy into getting rid of what seemed like a very odd, strange person in Nate Bjorken as coach last year with all the dysfunction they had, going to someone who has been around the NBA a long time like Rick Carlisle? How much does that help the stability, do you think, for this Indiana Pacers team?
I think it really stabilizes them as a franchise. I think it'll stabilize the rotation. I think you're going to see big years out of players like Malcolm Brogdon and possibly an MVP run and Domantas Sabonis. So I think that he will help them tremendously.
Wow. Yeah. And the biggest thing is, of course, the Pacers were all over the place last year. Injuries, COVID, the whole coaching situation. I mean, it just was not a healthy situation. The thing is, not much changed roster wise besides the head coach. So they have maybe Caris LeVert for a full year. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. Let's get to projected starters. So I think we agree Malcolm Brogdon, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner are probably the three key guys. I would have TJ Warren and Caris LeVert in here. Of course, TJ Warren, just snake bitten by injuries, is out indefinitely, which I believe was a fracture in his foot. So to me, that slides Jeremy Lamb into the starting spot. And then Caris LeVert, of course, who a guy, you know, last year missed the last season because they found that mass on his kidneys. And he had a full recovery, thank God. But recently it was reported that he had a stress fracture in his back. So he may not be ready right away to start the season. So for you to fill out this lineup, I mean, I don't think they're going to start TJ McConnell. Do you think it would be a better solution for them to go with the rookie who is older, the guy they just drafted, and Chris Duarte at this position?
No, I don't think that's smart. I do think that they, you know, I think one of those players, I don't know. I'm so confused with this roster and who in the world will start.
Yeah.
I think they're okay. Just over, you know, overall in their lineup. But I think early to start the season, it will be back and forth. From what I hear, Caris LeVert should be ready to go when the season starts. But back injury, that's scary either way, no matter what. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, you said Sabonis with a sneaky MVP season last year, averaged 20 points, 12 rebounds. What kind of season are you expecting from him? Continual growth, or obviously you think continual growth, but for an MVP dark horse season, what kind of numbers are you looking for from him?
I think an increase a little bit. I don't think it's a crazy, like uptick in numbers. I think it's going to be closer to the way it was.
And you were really high on this team last year. And are you still high on them for this upcoming year? You just think last year was just an anomaly kind of year? Everybody coming back from that shortened offseason and COVID and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think they fell off a little over midway through the season. And that was the issue. It wasn't that they were that bad. They got hit with the injury bug. And then it just seemed like one injury after another. And then it just seemed like they just couldn't get it together. And so I don't think that they're a bad team at all. I think they are definitely a playoff team in the East, in my opinion. But it would not surprise me, because the East is getting a little bit better, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they ended up as the ninth or 10th and in the play-in game. For sure.
Interesting. So let's get to some strengths for this team. This team was really good in the paint. They scored one of the teams that was scored a majority of their points in the paint, you know, other teams like the Spurs, Grizzlies. And they were really good at guarding the three-point line last year. They were one of the best in three-point perimeter, like shooting opposing team percentages. They guarded that very, very well. Areas of improvement, this team just – they played good initial defense, but they just could not finish a defensive possession. They were not a great rebounding team. So to me, if they're really going to improve, this is why Rick Carlisle is coming in here, right? Not only because Nate Bjorken was a weirdo, but Rick Carlisle is an upstanding coach who is going to teach this kind of old school mentality that he's going to go back to, probably that he kind of changed his personality when he was with the Mavs the last few years, with being more offensive minded, right? He's got the players in the system in here to be more defensive minded. Is that kind of how you see this going for the Pacers? Like, they will be a better defensive team?
Yeah, because, you know, you're adding in a player like Chris Duarte, who, you know, can be a really good defensive player in the NBA. I think that he's going to instill that they have enough offensive skill and enough offensive firepower to be good and score 110 points a game. I don't think that will be an issue. I think he's going to really focus in on the defense. And I do believe that's why he was brought in here to be the coach, is so they can actually make Domantas Sabonis a better defender, be able to use Miles Turner defensively the best way. So I do believe that this will be a better defensive team this year. And I think that's why they will surprise people.
Yeah, that's a good point. Miles Turner was, I think, only played 40-something games last year. Seems to be kind of habitually injured the past two or three seasons. But he did average, when he did play, 3.4 blocks per game. So that was a high mark. So this could be a sneaky defensive team, and I completely agree with you. That's a surprise player for you for the Pacers before we move on to team number 16 in our list.
You know, I wanted to go with somebody that I really like. But I'm just going to be smart about it. And I don't love this player.
Uh-oh.
I think he is beneficial to them, and that is Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah. My surprise player is a undrafted rookie, Dejan Giroux from Houston, who probably won't play, but if there's some injury problems like they've already seemed to have, they're going to have to go deep into the bench. And he played a little bit with the Heat and played well. So he's kind of like that weird hustle, go get it guy who seems to make an NBA team and play a little bit. So he's my surprise player. Moving on to number 16, the Boston Celtics last year, 36-36, which is good for seventh in the East. New head coach, Emi Udoka, added a couple interesting players, maybe to no one else except me, Josh Richardson, Dennis Schroeder, for the cheapest of cheap. Poor Dennis Schroeder. And maybe not poor Dennis Schroeder. He did it to himself. And Al Horford, of course, projected starters. This is where it gets kind of interesting, I think, Daniel. Projected starters, I have Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and Robert Williams. Disagree or agree?
I disagree. If Robert Williams is starting on this team, I think they have issues.
He was last year, wasn't he?
Was he? A starter for them?
Whenever he wasn't injured?
So we're talking about the Time Lord, right? The same guy?
I think he wasn't starting at the beginning of the year. It's Tristan Thompson, and then they went to Robert Williams.
Daniel Tice is who they started majority of the season until they traded away Daniel Tice. So
maybe that's what it was. Okay, one of those two.
Yeah, I think you add in an Al Horford. I don't think they need to go another big.
Smaller with an aging Al Horford as your five?
Yeah, I would. I would probably throw in somebody like a Josh Richardson. And I would, you can go Robert Williams, but I don't think that's what they need.
Would you go more kind of a truer quote unquote? I know we shouldn't call Dennis Schroeder a true point guard. That's kind of a disgrace to the true point guard, but would you rather start small with Schroeder, Smart, Tatum, Brown, and Horford? How does that look defensively for you? Because to me, this team projects as a very good defensive team. This is one of their strengths. Just go ahead and dip it into this. Last year, they were a great defensive team. And their other strength is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are both under 25. Like they have a 25 dynamic duo.
Yeah.
The problem is last year just looked like they did not have any effort, right? Aaron's improvement for me was shot selection. Let's keep the ball moving, which of course they have said in training camp that they were good. They were working on moving the ball more, not sticking. So they plan to be more movement, not just Jason Tatum controlling a possession for 14 seconds and then shooting a step back fadeaway to keep the ball moving. So you think going small would help that, or would it sacrifice a little bit of the defense if they started, to more traditional bigs, even though Al Horford, is a guy that can play along the perimeter?
Yeah, I believe that if it was me and I was the coach of this team, I would definitely have a more smaller lineup. Al Horford can guard any five for the most part in this league. I don't know of a five that I just don't feel comfortable that he can guard. And if you're talking about a four, that's when you include Jason Tatum. He's 6'8". I feel good about Jason Tatum on any four outside of some, a bigger lineup, right? So if they do run, two bigs, then maybe I get a little worried that you're going to have, somebody back him, into the post more. But at the end of the day, on the offensive end, if that guy is having to, if he loves to, back down Jason Tatum into the post more, then on the offensive end, then Tatum should be able to stretch him out. And there is nobody that would be able to guard them off of the dribble there. And so you kind of, depends on what you look at. Do you feel like you have the, are you worse off on the defensive end than you are on the offensive end? I think you look at your strengths and weaknesses on that. But if it was me, I would put the ball in Dennis Schroeder's hand, and I would have Marcus Smart be the, the slasher, and then Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum can do whatever they want. And then Al Horford, he's going to stand in the corner. Just let him stand in the corner, bring out their big, put him in the corner, and you just stay there, Al Horford. And every now and then make a three, make your two threes a game, put a couple, rebound, put backs in. And call it a day like that. That's what I would do with that team. And I think they would be very good defensively.
That is interesting because this team does seem to be more malleable, right?
Yeah.
Because they can go to those small lineups if they need to and not be as hurt, maybe physically not imposing for those small ball lineups as some others are. But they're multi-positional. They can start bigger with Robert Williams, Al Horford if they need to, if they play the Pacers with Miles Turner and Sabonis, they can go small when it's one big, and four out. So I think that's why there's a lot of interest in this team this year, and people are really high on their bench. Aaron Nesmith, second year player, Peyton Pritchard, and Josh Richardson. So people feel like, and we have them ranked here at 16. So obviously we have them as an eighth seed. So I'm interested to see it because last year with Jason Tatum, just watching him, I know everyone gets excited about his ISO skills and all that stuff, but there was something about him last year that bothered me, and it was effort. Right. So before I see, like, I have to see the effort first before I buy into this team really being a higher East seed that I could see getting to the second weekend. So I want to see that first, and maybe the new head coach that changes that. And if it does, that's great. Because we want to see that kind of progression from Jason Tatum, who is a surprise player. Oh, sorry. Do you have anything for you?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback off of that real quick. So I know a lot of people have kind of turned up their nose at my take on Jason Tatum. He's a very good player. I love Jason Tatum. He is one of the more dynamic players, and especially young players in this league. What I call Jason Tatum, I consider him a front runner. And I'll explain what a front runner in my mind is somebody who, when the game is coming to him, when the score is coming to your team and you're out front, everything is kind of going your direction, your way. He is the best player on the court by far. Obviously there's going to be players that are always be better than him. KD, you know, and LeBron, all of them. I'm talking about on a normal basis, he can be, if not, he is the best player on the court. His issue is body language goes to trash. His head goes down. He doesn't look like he's involved in the game when it's just not coming as easy to him. And so I think that Jason Tatum needs to learn the older he gets that sometimes the game isn't going to come as easy to you, and you have to learn how to get out of that slump mid-game. You can't wait till the game's over and then try again next game because he's a good enough player where the next game will just, you know, it'll become easy to him again. He'll look like he's amazing. So I hope that he learns a little bit more the older he gets, but it can't be a front runner. The only way that this Celtics team is going to be a top five team in the East, which they should be with this roster, is behind his leadership. So I hope that he eventually gets past that, you know, kind of leader, you know, where he becomes that guy now that he is the dude there.
And that might just be with age, right? He's still, 23 or 24. Yep. But I agree. Those signs are, anytime it starts to develop, we don't like to see it. So right. I would like to see improvement in that area for sure. Who's the surprise player for you for this team before we move on?
Yep, big fan of the Time Lord, Robert Williams. You talked about him earlier.
Just trashing being a starting lineup.
I'm not trashing him being in the starting lineup. He's not ready. He's just not ready. I don't believe that he is, you know, really the guy who should be a starter, and especially next to Al Horford. I just don't see that. If you have him being the five or the big coming off the bench, I don't know if you want to run him next to Grant Williams or if you want to run him next to the guy that he's picked up, Juan Hernan Gomez. That's fine if you want to do that. But I don't believe that he is a starter in this league yet. But he does have the potential. I just don't know if I love his offensive game outside of, you know, pick and roll and slashing through the lane and a player that really plays similar to Rudy Gobert. And I'm not a big fan of that in this league anymore. So I'm hoping he kind of takes a next step this year.
Mine is a guy they got from the Wizards, Garrison Matthews. Maybe he's just, you know, a few minutes a game, but he's going to be a 3-point gunner. Maybe he'll get some time. And might be a fun, you know, Celtic guy off the bench, because Celtics always have that guy they root for, right? And Garrison Matthews, you'd be like that fun guy, come off the bench, hit a couple threes. But anyways, number 15 on our list, the New York Knicks, who last year went 41-31, which was fourth in the East. Probably the most surprising team, of especially for us, for our rankings, because last year, I believe we preview ranked them as one of the three or four worst teams in the league last year.
Yeah.
But Tom Thibodeau did absolute miracle worker things and turned what was a very pedestrian lineup into the Julius Randle and sort of sometimes RJ Barrett show. Mostly Julius Randle, who had an incredible all-star season, averaging 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, shooting almost 40% from three. Now they got some players in. And I think, you know, they're going to try to sustain this. Projected starters for this team, newly inbound, freshly always injured Kemba Walker, RJ Barrett, of course, Evan Fournier, both Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier from the Celtics, Julius Randle, and I believe they're going to start Nerlens Noel last year from all he did last year, but would not be surprised to see Mitchell Robinson. He's back from an injury, I believe, but I would expect them to start Nerlens Noel. Would you agree with that starting five?
No, not at all.
Who would you start?
Yeah, I think Mitchell Robinson starts for this team.
Okay.
I think he's much better than Nerlens, and I think that he gives them much more, and I believe it's hard to remember all these stupid lineups from all these teams, but I believe Mitchell Robinson was starting before his injury last year.
Yeah. So the strengths for this team last year was they were an awesome defense. The problem was areas of improvement was perimeter creation, and they had absolutely no offensive versatility outside of Julius Randle and Derrick Rose. RJ Barrett still coming along. It's just not there yet. But strengths last year was defense. Do you think this is going to be a strength for this new look Knicks team, adding Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, or will they sacrifice some of that a little bit?
No, I think you still have the main core there, the main bones behind all of it. So I think they're going to be as good defensively, maybe a tick under, you know, right? It's hard to repeat defensively because if you don't have the same group, the chemistry could be a little off. So yeah, I think that they're going to be right around the same number and the same, you know, look, but they could be a little less, you know, defensive. Yeah. So that's okay if you can get up the offensive minded behind it, because that's really what they need. They need the scoring, and they need, you know, another big year out of Julius Randle. That was their main reason they were so good, is because of him. It had no other reason they should have been as good as they were.
My projection for this Knicks team is, I think as the offense gets better, then obviously the defense will probably crash down a little bit. Yeah. Not saying that's going to fall off a cliff, but I would expect them going from almost dead last in offense and pace to, if they can stay healthy, of course, that's the big thing with Kemba Walker, right? The health question. I would expect this offense to be middle tier, and I would expect this defense to regress from the top three to being 8-12. Who's a surprise player for this team, for the Knicks, for you?
You know, I love Wayne Selden, and I don't even know if he'll make the roster, but I really do love him. But if it's somebody who is just kind of sitting there, who had a great, great year last year, that's Emmanuel Quickley. He needs to continue to kind of take the step. When this team needs these younger guys to go and ascend into their next level, the sophomore year, does that hurt them having somebody, Derrick Rose, Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier? You still got a player like Kevin Knox, who knows? Is he good? You know, are they going to still hold on to him? Like, what's going on?
He gone. Yeah.
So, you know, they also brought in another guy like Quentin Grimes. So I don't want this guy to take a step back because he doesn't really get, you know, Tibbs's ear, and, you know, isn't able to play as much. So I think he will, and I think he, you know, continues to ascend, but I just hope that this doesn't kind of stall him in his progression.
Yeah, my guy is, I really wanted to say your guy, and I also wanted to say Obi Toppin, but I have such a vested interest in my hot take on Obi Toppin from the draft last year with you and Cody that I couldn't do it. I couldn't sabotage my own self. So I went with actually another rookie who's probably going to take some time to even get into the rotation if he does at all. And that's Quentin Grimes, who is a tougher guy. Now, a lot of people probably think Miles McBride will play faster than Quentin, but I think the shooting is something that will be holding him to Tibbs to get a shot. Right. And Grimes, you know, his college career was up and down, always inconsistent, which is not a great hallmark of a NBA player. Right. But I think he'll at least get a shot. So he could be an interesting surprise, even though Tibbs does not usually like playing rookies at all. So yeah. Talking about a veteran team, number 14 in our list, the Los Angeles Clippers, which might surprise some people or maybe not. Last year went 47-25, which was fourth in the West, coached by head coach still Ty Lue. And this might be an extreme reaction to the Kawhi Leonard news, because last year they sacked Kawhi and Paul George a lot last year and still managed this fourth record in the West. So, but projected starts for this team. Now, this is projected based off what Ty Lue said himself, that this is his starting lineup to start the season, which may be a front. Ty Lue kind of likes these mind games like this, but I wouldn't feel like he would do this. I think he's doing this to instill confidence in Eric Bledsoe, who they acquired. So starters, Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and Zubac. And when you first look at this lineup, you're like, oh God, how is this team even making the playoffs in the West? And then you realize this is the best three-point shooting team in the NBA last year. And they were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA year, and in the NBA last year. And you still scratch your head. And how is that even possible? So I know there's a lot of times with this Clippers, Daniel, that me and you both have felt like, how in the world is this a good team? And it seems like they've kind of bought into the analytics of the game, stretch, spread everyone out, shoot the three ball with no remorse, and defense, make your worst guy beat you on your team. And they will concede shots to whoever it is, the worst shooter on your team. And it worked. With Kawhi out now for, we assume, a whole season, we have no idea with Kawhi. He could potentially come back by the playoffs is a rumor, but we know Kawhi, he's probably not going to do that. Do you project this team to still make the playoffs like we have them in this list? Or do you think this is a potential year for them to just kind of take the year off? They don't push Paul George. They kind of saving for a year. Like, what's your thoughts about the Clippers?
Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs with this team, with this roster? No. I and don't get me wrong. Like, I got caught into the name when I made my list. They were my eighth place team. But the more I look at this roster, and the more I kind of just dig into it and look at these other teams, and I just think that they're in the play-in at the best. I think they're a 9-10.
So if there is any regression at all to the mean for this team from the three-point line, this is a 500 team.
Yeah.
And they could struggle if those shots are not going in. And I think there's a little projection of that with the fit of Eric Bledsoe. So I'm very interested to see from this team. I don't really know who they are, except they're going to be an analytics darling in shooting a lot of threes, spread you out, drive, kick, not drive, finish. And I wish they would drive, finish more. And on defense, if your worst player can't shoot, they're going to let him. Yep. And if you can hit those open shots against the Clippers, you'll beat them. If you can't, you might lose, or it'll at least be a game. Mm-hmm. Who's a surprise player for this Clippers for you?
Yeah, so I have two. I have one surprise player, and then I might have a surprise take on a player. I'm going to start off my surprise take, and that's going to be Paul George. If this team is a playoff team, I think that Paul George is an MVP candidate.
100%. I like it.
Because
that's a dark horse.
Because he would have to play his butt off to really make this team be, you know, taking a chance, you know, for a 5-6 seed. Like, yeah, and I really do think. But the player I'm looking at is a guy who was with the Grizzlies, and that's Justice Winslow. It's not because he was with the Grizzlies. It's not because he's a former Duke. It's no reason of that.
We'll just combine. This is my surprise player, too. So you take this is both me and you. You take it.
Well, I just think that this guy has the potential to be so good, but he's been struggling with injury. Last year, he looked unplayable. I was actually at one of the last games in the Grizzlies season when they sit all the starters, and why I had tickets to that game and went, I don't know. But I watched him, and he looked like the best player on the court. And he was still playing. They were playing the Kings. And he was still playing against players like Halliburton and Buddy Hield. And De'Aaron Fox was one of the only ones that wasn't playing on that team. I I just think that he can be that guy again if he kind of figures it out. He's got to learn to find his role. And if he can find his role, he will be 100% potentially the comeback player of the year, most improved player, if not the sixth man of the year. I think that the guy has that high of a level of potential. So I'm excited to see how good he is going to be maybe after a healthy offseason. And now his body is coming back the right way.
Nothing else needs to be said about that. Number 13, this is the last one that me and Daniel do together. But this team is actually is interesting to me because I feel like it's the one I have the most regret about as where I voted them as to where they are in a ranking. So this might be an interesting debate between me and you. But that is the Portland Trail Blazers, who last year went 42-30, which was good for sixth in the West. New head coach Chauncey Billups. They have had quite an offseason. I don't want to go into any of the specifics. They have had an incredibly distracting and lots going on offseason for this team, which is, I think, why I initially, as a square person that thinks very squarely, had them low. Square as in a gambling term, if you know what I'm talking about. But the more and more, as time progressed throughout the season, things quieted down and I start reading things. And I believe in Chauncey Billups and his pedigree. I've started to buy into this team a little bit. And I regret them being here at 13 because I think this could be the surprise team in the West. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Simple as that. I'm just crazy. You just don't believe in the formula anymore. Projected starters: Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Norman Powell, Robert Covington, Jusuf Nurkić, injured a lot last year. I mean, their strengths: three-point shooting, ISO scoring, areas of improvement, defense, obviously could get more offensive movement besides just Dame and CJ bail us out. You just do not believe in this team. I mean, this was what, 2 or 3 years ago, they made the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah.
With basically the same skeleton of the team.
Right.
Are you a believer not because the first five is strong, or it's because of the next five?
I don't believe in the first five as well as the next five.
Okay.
I think that this team is a Damian Lillard team, and they're always going to be a Damian Lillard team, very dependent on him solely. And I think that's why this team does not mesh as well as they should, is because in the end of the day, I think they just depend on him too much. And CJ McCollum is a great player, and I think he'll be great again. But outside of those two, I don't like anybody else. Like, you know, in all honesty, Melo was the player that kind of helped them out last year, and he's gone. And I know he's getting older and you don't really want to hold on to the player too long, but what's Robert Covington doing? Who knows? Norm Powell, he showed that he was okay. He's the same player as CJ McCollum pretty much. And he's not nearly as good. And then the guy who I think has fallen off the wagon the most, and I don't know why, he's not Bubble Nurkić no more. He's just not. Jusuf Nurkić is an okay player, but I saw him way too many times go against, you know, honestly, just a lot of the bigs. And, you know, and so I just think that I think he continues to struggle, and I think he can be good at times, but I still think he is kind of on the backside of his prime.
I don't want to go crazy. Because you know me, I'm always the guy who looks for the team that is under the radar.
Okay.
And that's why before the playoffs, I had told you that I think the Bucks are going to win it. And, you know, we had that guy who was a 76ers fan come on, and he basically railed me for that opinion because I didn't love it, but it felt like the Bucks were running under the radar. Now I'm not saying, And the Bucks are also quietly putting together the team at the right time, right?
Right.
And so I'm not saying the Blazers are going to win the NBA championship this year. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe that this is a under-the-radar team, even though they are very public in anything that is not basketball-related.
Yeah.
They have been very public. But behind closed doors, and we're looking just solely at the basketball side of it, I think this is an underrated basketball team. And I think this is a team that could be in the top four of the West. There has to be a regression where things work out for them, right?
Right.
Like, I just think Damian Lillard has been committed to that franchise for too long to not be rewarded with something besides you happen to make the Western Conference playoffs once. The basketball gods are not that cruel. So this is why I'm believing in the Blazers here. But who's a surprise player for this team?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Anfernee Penny Simons here.
For the fourth year in a row for their surprise player. He's going to come on this year.
He played well last year. I just don't know if he gives them enough of a difference, a different look than really what they have in a CJ. And maybe, I don't know. I think he's better than Dennis Smith Jr. I don't want to go that direction, but Norm Powell, I think he's spitting image. He's the same kind of type player. And so I don't know if he gives them anything different, but I believe that if they're going to be good, he needs to be good because he's coming off the bench and he's being one of their main guys that's coming off the bench. Cause the way this roster looks, I don't know who comes off the bench.
That is the big question about this team. And this is why I have my surprise player for them as CJ Ellaby, which is, I believe he's a second year man from Washington State. You want to talk about spitting images of Anfernee Simons, Norman Powell. This is a guy who fits that same profile that I think could be an interesting player if he got some minutes. So with how bad this bench potentially could be, there's going to be chances for him to get into the rotation. And I don't think Chauncey Billups is going to be afraid to play him. Wow. So he would be my surprise player, which wraps up this section with Daniel of the We Made the Playoffs Now What tier. So Dan would be back for our final nine teams. So it's getting down to the final tier. So thanks for continuing to tune in. Daniel, I'll see you next week. We're going to take a short break. We'll have Cody back to finish up with the final three teams in this tier. And I am joined once again by Mr. Cody Halsey.
What's up?
Are you back and ready to do this? Are you ready to be hurt again?
I am ready to be hurt again. But before I do that, a pizza has just arrived. Allow me a moment, and then let's get right to it.
All right, we're back from station identification pause. And Cody is here to talk about the maybe it's a style of pizza that he had delivered. The 12th team on our list, the Chicago Bulls. Did you have a deep dish?
I did not.
Okay, so it wasn't like that. All right. But we're going to talk about the Chicago Bulls, who last year, record-wise, went 31-41, which was 11th in the East, coached by Billy Donovan still to this day. Are you a big fan of Billy Donovan?
I'm indifferent to Billy Donovan. He did coach a Florida team that beat an Ohio State team that was led by Mike Conley and Greg Oden. So that kind of stung because those guys were like kind of heroes of mine. So I'm not like a giant. I don't love Billy Donovan. I think he kind of looks goofy, but I'm indifferent to his coaching ability.
Gotcha. Yeah. I really don't think Billy Donovan is anything special. I'm not kinda sure.
Got a tall head.
I'm sure we'll talk about this. Maybe we talk about now is if he's really, truly a guy to lead a team who hasn't been to the playoffs in a long time. Is he truly the guy to lead this team to an actual playoff berth? I mean, do you think he's that kind of coach?
Well, maybe he's a developmental coach.
So he's the guy before the guy that takes him to the playoffs. Now, let me ask you, is that a very bad pairing for the way they constructed this team for this year? Because they obviously made moves to make the playoffs this year. They want to be in the playoffs. I mean, They added DeMar DeRozan. They got signed Alonzo Ball to a big contract. They signed Alex Caruso, bringing a bunch of guys back. I mean, last year they traded for Nikola Vucevic from the Magic. Like, this team wants to make the playoffs. Is a developmental coach a good idea?
He's got, excuse me. pizzas fighting back. Got playoff experience coaching.
Okay.
So that's not to say that he can't coach a team into the playoffs. Because sometimes you're developmental coach.
Not to a lot of success, though, right?
No, not to a lot of success, but that doesn't mean you can't coach him into the playoffs.
Okay, that's fair. Especially he's in a tougher to. Western Conference, yeah.
He's not going to, but...
We do have them 12, so they're in the playoffs pretty comfortably. But let's talk about the projected starters here. Lonzo Ball, obviously, with Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. Nikola Vucevic. The four, I think Patrick Williams is going to start at the four for them as a second-year forward from Florida State. So that starting lineup, there's no way they're not making the playoffs, right?
Yeah, no, they're going to make the playoffs.
Now, Lonzo Ball has been, you know, his entire career, I don't think he's had a season over above 500. But everyone continues to love Lonzo Ball. They say his improved jumper, which he did improve shooting. He's 38% three-point shooter on 8 attempts last year with the Pelicans. Are you buying into all this Lonzo hype moving to the Bulls? Is all of a sudden Lonzo, I know he's still young, right? And he's been in weird situations. So not like it's completely his fault, but are you buying into this reclamation of Lonzo Ball as a true elite starting point guard for a playoff team that's going to guide the Bulls to the playoffs again?
Lonzo Ball? Yeah, why not?
So you're in on Lonzo.
I like Lonzo Ball. He plays defense. Like, he was shooting okay last year. Like, I like Lonzo Ball.
Okay.
He doesn't have to have the ball to be good. Like, He's not like a score first point guard. Like, he can pass and get other people involved. He's like Trae Young without all the scoring. That's a terrible comparison. but he can get other people involved and distribute the ball and like do some playmaking stuff, and he can play defense.
I really enjoyed the comparison. Yeah, the defense is underrated. That's a good point.
Very similar to Trae Young in that regard.
Now, do you also buy into Zach LaVine from the year he's continued to ascend ever since he moved from the Timberwolves? 27 points per game last year, shot 42% from three on 8 attempts per game, which is incredible. I know they had some injury luck late, which kind of fell it apart. They were kind of right in there for the play-in spot, and then the injuries kind of hit them, especially to LaVine. And they just never really got assimilated with him and Vucevic. I mean, they've had the off season now. They just didn't look like a great pairing together. Now they've had the off season, adding Lonzo and DeRozan. I mean, do you think Zach LaVine's point production is going to fall off a little bit? Or do you think he's the true alpha of this team with these guys coming in and still going to put up that kind of 27 points per game production that he did last year?
I think his points are going to drop off a little bit just because I think that they're going to rely on him less. He's not going to have to do as much. So I think naturally his points are going to come down. But I mean, I think he's going to be the guy on the team. It's still going to be, he's been there the longest. I think it's going to be his team.
Interesting. Now, we talked about DeRozan, you know, a little bit on the previous pod with the Spurs, how important he was for them. He's kind of turned, like, he still averaged 22 points per game last year, but he averaged 7 assists. And he really did everything for the Spurs in creation. So he's 32 years old, going to be probably 33 at some point this season. Are you still buying into him as being a kind of a savvy vet who's going to do a lot for this team to propel him?
Why would I not?
So you really like DeRozan. Now, he's not a three-point shooter, which is fine because Zach LaVine will shoot those. Mm-hmm. And we know Lonzo will shoot those. I mean, if you keep their averages from last year, that's 16 threes a game between the two of them. So you're buying into DeRozan kind of being the kind of older D Wade version, you know, roaming inside the paint.
Yeah. Why not? He's got that old school game.
Okay. Now, strengths for this team. What are some strengths that you could see from this team?
This team, you know, they're not really, they have strength at all positions for scoring.
Okay.
They can score from three. They can score from the mid range. Like, very efficiently. And they can score from down low with Vooch. With Vooch? Yes, with Vooch. Vooch. I cannot say his name right now.
Vooch can do that, but he seems to kind of trend lately to shooting from the outside. I mean, he shot almost 40% from 6 attempts per game from three last year, too.
spreads the floor. You got room for DeRozan to do work. You got room for LaVine to work. That's fantastic. Scoring, yeah. Not a problem for the Chicago Bulls.
That's what's going to be interesting for them, because my strength is, obviously, I think they're going to be a good rebounding team. They defended the three pretty well last year. I don't know how much that changes. I don't think it'll change much. But the improvement for them is, I'm just not really, there's huge question marks to me about their bench play. Like, who is coming in after these guys? Like, I get it. Alex Crusoe is like the Lakers fun guy, right? Am I super excited for him to come in for Zach LaVine to play with Lonzo Ball in rotation minutes? No.
Why not? Like, you've seen it before.
Like Coby White, like, are we still in on Coby White?
I didn't know he was in the league still.
Only his third season, but like their rookies, Dosunmu, like, are these guys going to produce for them? So for a big weakness I have for them is scoring punch off the bench. Mm-hmm. Is the bench going to hold them back, or is it going to, you know, are they going to have some sort of punch from the bench? Like, is the Bulls going to ultimately fall apart because they don't go eight deep? And they only go 5.5 deep. Mm-hmm. And if you get one injury to any of those guys, which seems to happen to every team every year, what is really going to happen to them? So do you think the Bulls, do you think they're a legitimate threat in the playoffs to advance one or two rounds?
No.
So if they were
to advance, the coach, different story.
Now, my other question is, if they're going to advance one or two rounds, is it because of they caught a break?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if they advance one or two rounds, it's because they're healthy.
Interesting. And the other team is not.
That is catching a break. Like, just being healthy at the end of the year altogether is 100% is a break.
Mm. So let's do their surprise player then before we move on to the next team. Who's the surprise player for the Bulls next year?
Surprise player for the Bulls, DeMar DeRozan. Guy's getting old. Everybody's like, man, DeMar, just not the same guy. He's going to be the same guy.
Interesting. Big DeMar DeRozan fan. I don't remember this from you before. With
DeMar. I've always liked DeMar.
Yeah? I feel like maybe it's just been a while since we've talked, and I just don't remember.
He's just always played. He's always been under the radar. He's always been on a team that we don't really like. We haven't like talked about a ton.
Fair point.
When we talked about him on the Raptors, we were always talking about, like, is this the end for him? Even though he was good.
And they went to Spurs, and they kind of mediocre. And
yeah, I mean, they're just under the radar.
DeRozan, I like it. It's going to surprise. It's kind of like a team player if they're going to be successful. Mine is Patrick Williams. I think he's going to have to make everything fit because he's going to be the lanky perimeter guy who's going to have to do everything for them. So I'm in on Patrick Williams. I think he's going to have a much improved year as last year. So that's my guy moving forward, which moves us to number 11 on our list, the Atlanta Hawks. Last year's record, 41-31, which is good for fifth in the Eastern Conference. Coach took over mid-year for Lloyd Pierce, was Nate McMillan, who righted the ship and propelled them all the way from a below 500 record to being the fifth seed, which is quite impressive, which tells me how poorly of a job Lloyd Pierce did, because everybody, when the firing happened, a strong majority of people I knew defended Lloyd Pierce and tore up the Hawks for doing it and thought they were stupid. Lo and behold, Lloyd Pierce was the problem, and no one liked playing with him or playing for him.
Nope.
And it got them a berth to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Nate McMillan is the guy heading forward. Roster wise, basically retained most everyone. I think they lost like a few people like Dunn and stuff like that, but people weren't really playing for them anyways. Kept Lou Williams. We're not sure about Cam Reddish. Re-signed John Collins, signed Gorgui Dieng, but kept pretty much the entirety of the team that actually contributed to making Eastern Conference Finals intact. So projected starters that we have for them, Trae Young, Bojan Bogdanović. I have DeAndre Hunter here as a starter for his defense over Kevin Huerter. And then I have John Collins and Clint Capela. Would you agree with that, Hunter, over? Okay, so so Kevin Huerter is our bench guy. Like, yeah. Gallinari also had a nice playoff run with the Hawks, but I think he's kind of at the age where it's
DeAndre Hunter.
Okay, DeAndre Hunter, no matter what, we like that starting five. Bojan Bogdanović for sure is a starter. Strengths for this team, getting into it, I think this is a really fun team. I think it's deeper than what people realize. And I think that's the thing we just didn't see until they actually did it, right? Like, there were probably some who said they foresaw this happening, them making the Eastern Conference Finals. But I just don't think we anticipated the depth that they actually have on this team at all positions.
And I think also a lot big part of their, like, getting good was like the growth of like Trae Young, you know, having a coach that will sit you down and show you video of what your teammates' faces are when you shoot a three from the logo. Like,
I think you make a great point. Let's take a second. I know we usually try to keep this moving, but let's talk about Trae Young a little bit. I mean, 25 points per game last year, 9 assists, 34% from three on 6 attempts, not like a lights out number from three, but he got to the basket more and he created driving kick. How exciting of the evolution of that early in his career. I mean, guys don't usually do this 3 years in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's rare to have a guy who, the way Trae Young came into the league, he was shooting half court threes, right?
Right.
And in year three, as a young player, learned to immediately switch it to where he got everyone else involved. How exciting is that for you as just a basketball guy in general, to see a guy realize the way he's playing is not sustainable and is willing to take maybe not necessarily a backseat role. I mean, he still scored 25 points per game, but he was more involved in creating for the team. Like, how great was that for you?
I mean, like, it's fantastic. It's one of those things where, like, you know, everybody always talks about like the potential the players have and like, you know, oh, I hope this, you know, this guy, you know, he could be, you know, player X, or however they compare people, and they start that from like when they're in college, like, oh, this guy's like, so it's nice to see guys like figure it out and stop getting to other people so much, because once they figure it out, then people are like, oh, well, Trae Young's Trae Young, because really there's not anybody that plays exactly like Trae Young plays.
Yeah.
Trae Young is like super tough. Like, he doesn't play great defense, but he like actually tried on defense a little bit. There is a much more effort. Like, I honestly think
small
like
guard.
Yeah, like Nate tough McMillan. Small guard. Like, yeah, Nate McMillan, coach of the year, man. Like,
not walked into the Knicks and just owned Madison Square Garden. Like, it was truly impressive at age 23 or whatever he is.
Yeah, like he's young and he's good.
Talking about strengths with the Hawks now, like, to me, it's, they've got shooting everywhere, and they've got a guy who can get into the middle of the paint, cause help, kick out, and attack. And they just have a lot of depth for that team that I'm really interested by, to see if they're going to improve and become one of the top teams in the East. Wouldn't surprise me, even though we have them and we can't catch a break. Like, it would not surprise me to see them jump into a higher tier, but who knows? You know, we obviously don't believe they're actual title contender. Maybe we're wrong. This is the one that I'm kind of feeling less comfortable by as we talk about them more. But the weaknesses, areas of improvement for me is, I would love, like, it's hard to nitpick a really deep team who made the Eastern Conference Finals, but a more scoring threat from the center position and health. Obviously, you could say health about every team. We said that before with other teams, but the scoring punch from the center is, I think, an area that could really propel the championship level. And Clint Capela, I mean, the guy averaged 15 points, 14 rebounds, and all of that is just pick and roll and put back. So not like he needs a 3-point shot or anything, but if they were ever to get a player that had something that could step out and even stretch the floor even more, then I think it came over and the Hawks would be a top team for the foreseeable future, barring any major injury health. But moving on, do you have before we move on, a player, a surprise player for the Hawks?
No, there's no surprise with the Hawks. They're good.
They're just good. There's not anybody who's going to show out that you're going to be like, eh.
No, I don't think anyone's going to surprise you about the Hawks. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I knew they were good. Like, yeah, those guys are good.
They play for me, it's the guy I only guy I think of who I think is going to be too good to keep off the floor, and he surprised me already. Now, I know it's summer league. He's a rookie. But Jalen Johnson, I thought, really showed me summer league. Like, I really look for the guys in summer league that look like they belong and look like the game is too easy for them, even in summer league. And Jalen Johnson just stuck out to me that way. So he might not play a lot, but I think as we get into the season, he learns. I think it's going to be hard to keep this man off the floor for what he can give them in space, outrunning floor. And he's a special athlete. So I expect him maybe not play right away. He'll need some seasoning, but I just don't think they'll be able to warrant keeping him off the floor. So he would be the guy that surprised for me. Let's get to the number 10 team on our list. 10 teams left on this list. And here's the surprise. The Dallas Mavericks, who last year went 42-3, which was fifth in the West,
yeah,
new new head coach, Jason Kidd. He's back. Did you happen to see any of hilarious stories that were just probably completely false, but that came out about Jason Kidd and his coaching acumen?
How much he loves water slides.
Oh, the man is hilarious. I know they're not sure, still fun to talk about, but yeah, so they got Jason Kidd as the coach. How much of a train wreck is this going to be? Or do you believe Jason Kidd has turned the corner?
I don't think Jason Kidd's turned the corner. I think it's going to be a train wreck, but they have Luka Doncic, so it'll be like
less of a
palatable train wreck.
So it's just a supply train of deaths.
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those things where, like, Jason Kidd will be a train wreck, but, like, Luka's so good that it'll just, like, it will overshadow how much of a train wreck it actually is.
How many months do you give it? Over under 2.5 months for Luka Doncic to completely hate Jason Kidd?
I give it over 2.5 months.
Oh, you think he'll actually hold on a little bit?
Yeah, I think that just like Jason Kidd, like, I think that his stature within that organization.
Okay.
In general, just like having been there for, like, you know, he won a title there, I'm pretty sure.
But wouldn't you say the same thing about Rick Carlisle and Luka was out on him?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, but he played for Rick Carlisle for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So 2.5 months, 3 years. I think that the pedigree of Jason Kidd, as one might say, would afford him more than 2.5 months for Luka Doncic to hate him.
Yeah, see, I like the Mavericks a lot. I like their team. I think why we have them ranked here is actually, I mean, I hate to be down on a team because of the coach, but I hate it this higher. I just don't think Jason Kidd is that guy, and I just don't think Luka is going to like playing for him at all. Luka's a competitor, and I think he likes his teammates, but I think he's just out on the coach. Like, it's not going to keep Luka from playing. But I just don't think it's going to be a great situation that's going to be a long-lasting relationship that's going to propel Dallas even higher than what Rick Carlisle did. It's truly a step down from Rick Carlisle to Jason Kidd to me. And I'd love to be proven wrong. This is why they're 10th and not higher. So with the roster, I mean, they added a couple pieces. They didn't really do much. I think most Maverick fans wanted to make a big splash, go for a big move. But they really just kind of added some pieces around the edges, you know, traded Josh Richardson to the Celtics and got Reggie Bullock back to fill that spot, got Moses Brown from the Celtics in that trade. Projected starters, Luka Doncic, Tim Hardaway Jr., Reggie Bullock, Kristaps Porzingis, and I'm not really sure who's going to play the four. I'm split between two players, Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber. I know they like to start Maxi Kleber with Porzingis a lot, But I could see Dorian Finney-Smith starting with him. Do you have any specific player you prefer seeing over the other, or are they basically a wash to you?
I think it's a wash, but I think they're going to start Kleber.
Okay. What do you think about Tim Hardaway Jr. turning down more money from the Pelicans to stay with the Mavericks? Is it because he knows that the Pelicans are a dumpster fire, or is it because Luka's so good and makes his life easier?
I think Luka makes his life easier. When everyone's focused on one guy, it's easier to get yours.
Great point. 16 points for Tim Hardaway Jr. last year, shot almost 40% from 3 on 7/10 a game. I mean, Luka, let's just I know we probably have a Porzingis talk. I don't really want to talk a lot about Porzingis. I think Porzingis. What did you say?
Income tax in Texas.
I think Porzingis is a player who has kind of miscast last season, and I think he's better than what he showcased, but just such a dominant star that what are you supposed to do, right? You're going to play what best fits Luka, and that's just kind of how it is. So will he buy into that role? It will remain to be seen, but I do want to talk about Luka because my strengths for this team is one thing, and that is Luka Doncic. He literally creates everything for them on offense. He is virtually unstoppable. How special is Luka starting to creep into the top three NBA players for you?
Top three?
Yes.
Well, that's big. Is he? Okay. All right.
Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Luka Doncic. Is that crazy?
Giannis.
Okay. Steph Curry. How many players would you take before taking Luka Doncic?
Would you take Anthony Davis before Luka?
I don't think I will.
Then I think it's the four we mentioned before him. I think he's a top five player.
Do you think, would I be crazy to say that there's only three players I would take over him? And it would be.
I think there might be five.
The only three I think I'd take would be KD, LeBron, and Steph. I'd rather have Luka Doncic over Giannis. Is that wild?
Giannis has two regular season MVPs and a finals MVP.
Okay.
So great. I think I'm taking Giannis.
So you're going to take it because of the accolades?
No, but right now, I think, like, for this upcoming season, I think I'd rather have Giannis.
Okay, that's fair. I just wanted to ask a question. This is why we're here, right? For this
upcoming season, I'd rather have James Harden.
Ooh, okay. This is why I'm asking the question. This is what kind of thing I want to get off on a rabbit trail on. This is where the rabbit trail.
We're getting
to the territory to where the Luka conversation in the top 5 to 7 players is, you know, within the top 5 is not outlandish, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. But I think top 3 is a little bit.
That's a tough one. I think it's fun. We'll have to probably spend a whole
episode debating. You can for sure make the case.
Now, just to go ahead and tell you for your basketball listeners on this new League Sports Media Podcast Network, there'll probably be a follow-up pod where we discuss and rank these guys. So stay tuned for that. But there is improvement for this Mavericks team. Obviously, defense. I mean, they brought in guys last year to be tough and enforcers around Luka and play defense, and they just couldn't do that. And what they really need was the guys they like, was three-point shooting. They did shoot the ball okay, but with Luka, I don't think you need defensive enforcers. I think you need shooters and offense. Because he's going to create so much for you. So I like the pairing of Reggie Bullock because you get a little bit of both, right? You get a good shooter. Shot 41% on 6 attempts last year, and a guy who can actually play a little defense. So improve the defense, yes, but I don't think I would sacrifice offense around Luka for the sake of just being better on defense. Obviously, health is a big thing. Porzingis is always a wild card to get injured. And getting to the free throw line, I think, is something that needs to be improved on for this team. I think they need to be more attacking instead of just settling. But Luka is the creator in that. So at times, it's best to settle because he drew people in. I would be interested. Luka's already shooting 7 or 8 free throws a game already. Let's get him up to some James Harden numbers. Let's get him to 11 or 12. That's what I'd like to see for him. And he, as he progresses to be one of the 30-point scorers soon, averaged 28 last year. Do you have any strengths or weaknesses that you saw for the Mavericks that you would like to add?
I just don't think – I don't think Jason Kidd's that good of a coach.
He's just not, but whatever. Surprise player for this team. Who's the unsung hero who's going to be a surprise for them?
Maxi Kleber.
Oh, I love Maxi. He's a big fan. I'm a big fan of his until he got to the playoffs and all of a sudden he couldn't shoot. I'm going to take a guy that they got from the Rockets, and that's Sterling Brown. Didn't play a lot with the Bucks, spot stuff. Played a little bit more with the Rockets, but they were actively trying to tank. But he has improved every year on his three-point shooting, and like I said, they're going to need a pop of three-point shooting from somewhere. I think Sterling Brown could be kind of a surprise off the 8-9-man rotation if they need it. And that wraps up our We Made the Playoffs Now What tier. So we hope you enjoyed another free basketball tier preview breakdown. Stay tuned next week as we give our final 9 teams who we think have a good or legitimate shot to making the finals and winning the NBA championship this year. So stay tuned. Like, subscribe, follow the Lead Podcast Network. We've got a lot of podcasts going on, dropping almost every day in your feed. You definitely should follow. Hooper's Log comes on Tuesdays after us, High Off the Glass, Noon Channel Sports, Leading with the W. I mean, all of these guys are doing fantastic work for us so far on the network, and you definitely need to follow. We like to give them a shout out because we want to see everyone succeed, and everyone's doing extremely well. So we're proud to still be a part of it and keep pushing forward. Thank you for listening again. Like and subscribe, like we said. Enjoy the rest of the content from the Lead Podcast Network this week. We will see you guys next Monday.